FNR, Football Nation Radio. Football Q&A with Dave Davutovich from the Herald Sun on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
G'day football fans, you're listening to FNR Football Nation Radio. I'm David Davutovich and welcome to this week's episode of Football Q&A. Now, usually we'd have an in-depth chat with a football identity, but with the Socceroos just hours away from their most important match in 12 years, we're airing a special preview for the Honduras World Cup playoff, and we're covering every angle with four special guests tonight, all of whom will give us a unique insight into this all-or-nothing decider kicking off in just 3 hours' time at ANZ Stadium. Stan Lazaridis will kick off in a moment, reflecting on some of the unforgettable Socceroos moments that the World Cup playoffs have served up. Anthony Crea, the former Socceroos high-performance guru, will explain how significant Australia's physical advantages are for tonight's second leg, which could go into extra time. Paul Okon will provide a tactical breakdown of the Socceroos and Honduras, and our last sub will be Andy Harper of Fox Sports fame, who'll set the scene at ANZ Stadium as we edge closer to kickoff. Now, a reminder that FNR will simulcast the Fox Sports TV feed from 8 p.m. And, of course, the Four Diegos will be on after the game to dissect and hopefully celebrate another momentous occasion in Australian football. If you want to join in the talk, back number 9944999903 outside of Melbourne, plus 613 outside of Australia, or you can SMS us as well, and we'll give you the number in a moment. But it's almost 4 years to the day that Ange Postecoglou coached his first Socceroos game, a home friendly against Costa Rica, and a Brazil 2014 qualification already secured. Tonight, he stands just 90 minutes away from carving his own piece of World Cup history in what would be a world record 22-game qualifying campaign.
Yeah, look, again, I've answered this question. Look, it's very important because you want to be at the biggest tournament in the world. I think it's a reward for, you know, the whole organisation and the players and the staff for all the hard work they've been through. I mean, this is... this has been the longest World Cup campaign taken by any nation, both in, you know, amount of games and kilometres travelled. So you're kind of, you don't want all that to mean nothing. For the game, it's always, you know, it's always important that you're there when the World Cup's played. You know, we saw Italy miss out tomorrow, and you kind of this morning, sorry, and you kind of realise the impact that has. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that not qualifying. You know, means that the game somehow ceases to exist. It's not. It's more about our continued growth. And as I said all along, you know, we've got to be really ambitious in the way we approach international football and wanting to qualify, but also wanting to do well at a World Cup. All those kind of things can't happen unless you do get the job done. And you know, that's our focus for tomorrow.
Ange Postecoglou there on the eve of tonight's World Cup playoff. And as if this playoff needed any more drama, just days after the Honduran press labelled Australia disrespectful ahead of the San Pedro Sula first leg, the official Honduran Federation Twitter account released images of a drone hovering above their Sydney training session, and investigations found that it was in fact a boy and his father merely experimenting with their drone. But Honduras coach Jorge Luis Pinto was having none of it, maintaining his accusation of Socceroos espionage. Now, I welcome to FNR Stan Lazaridis, who from Tehran to Montevideo has seen all types of international gamesmanship. Laza, welcome. Who owned the drone?
I'd love to know, but I think they've done us a favour. But it's just a bit of controversy. I think they're just looking for anything to kind of just wind us up a little bit. But, you know, the talking will be done on the field. And, look, everyone's nervous. So we just want the game to come on as soon as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get on to the specifics of tonight's game in a moment. But take me back to your World Cup experience, and I guess your earliest memories of such cutthroat encounters.
Well, look, I mean, we had to do it the hard way, and obviously you go through South America, and this is somewhat a similar experience. We had to deal with the likes of Iran's away from home, and, you know, they're not the most pleasant places, but we, you know, managed to get results out there. We, you know, a lot of planning was done beforehand, and unfortunately for us, it never worked out for Iran, and you know, there's those equations could happen tonight as well. So, but it's a different ball game now with Ange and the staff that's on board. And you've seen everything with the recovering, the chartering of the plane. We did that after Uruguay, and I do believe that all those little bits of the 1%ers that will help in getting that result. So, and if you look at it as an investment point of view, $1 million in to potentially make $50 million, the FFA must take a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Take us back to 1997, Lazar, because, I mean, it was just extraordinary. I mean, an extraordinary occasion for Australian football, the first leg, and then, I mean, we'll touch on the home leg in a second.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's probably the saddest time of my life and career in sport, and particularly for Australia. But, you know, we went away from home and got that away goal. You know, something that I think Ange was looking to get as well with Honduras, and they probably deserved it. But, you know, we got our goal, and then we came back and we prepared reasonably well, and it was all looking good. And we just came out of the barriers really well, and we scored two goals, and we probably should have scored five, and the momentum was going so well. And then, you know, it just changed after that. The game stopped. That idiot came on the field and pulled the net down. The game stopped. And I don't know, it was the next 10, 12 minutes was kind of, you know, it was a blur. It was just, it was surreal. It was devastating, Davey, you know, and the away goals came back to haunt us. Yeah. Iran had scored the two. And you know, there is the potential that possibly could happen to us tonight. I'm hoping that it doesn't, because I don't want these players to feel how I felt on that night. And look, but I'm sure they're going to know, Ange and the staff, they'll have that beating down them. So it'll be a different ball game this time. But I will say, Dave, it still remains the saddest time for me.
Mate, the first half at the MCG, that was one of the best Socceroos performances I've ever seen, collectively and individually from yourself. You were absolutely tearing it up down that left flank. Mate, what does it feel like as a player when you're just on? I mean, to use cricket parlance, you're seeing it like a beach ball.
Yeah. Oh, look, you just felt right. You know, all the body felt good, and we collectively as a team played really well, and we just didn't take our chances. And, you know, I could summon that to almost what Ange has gone through, that, you know, really we shouldn't be in this position because we just didn't take our chances throughout the whole group phase. And in that particular game, Mark Viduka, Aurelio Vidmars, you know, the whole host, we're all in it together. We just missed chances that they would look back and we should have taken them, and had the game gone 3-0, it probably would end up 6-0. The biggest disappointment, David, I will say, for me, is that team was prime and ready, had a mixture of youth and experience. It was the right ages, the right experience, and I felt that we could have gone deep into the World Cup. That was just a shame that Australia didn't get to see that collection of players. But, you know, in saying that, you know, we learnt a lot of lessons from that, and, you know, we ended up making it in 2006. So, but yeah, look, it was gut-wrenching, and I certainly don't want the boys to go through that tonight. So it's in our hands. We're at home. We're a better team than they are. We've proved that over there. We've just got to take our chances, though.
And what about 2001, Lazar? That's the one that sort of doesn't get talked about a lot, because it was sandwiched in between those two, you know, I guess, amazing yet contrasting moments. But, you know, 1-0 up after the first leg, Muskie puts you up via the penalty spot. You've got your tails up. You think you're a decent chance to get through.
I think, to be honest, it goes back to all that intimidation and that. I just think when we got to Montevideo, I remember Paul Okon getting harassed, and, you know, it kind of put us all off. You know, the whole the banging of the drums keeping us up, the whole thing, and we just didn't play well that day. You know, it was just a collection, and it just didn't run. A bit like what you said in the earlier question, that we just weren't on, Dave. You know, we were a good side, we just weren't on. And before you know it, they had some special players in Alvaro Recoba, and there was one or two others that were really good players, and they managed to score. And it just felt like a struggle, and we're away on the second leg. you know, it's different tonight because we're at home, packed house. It's in our own hands. So you're right, it kind of gets forgotten about. But I would say, I have to be honest and say, we weren't the better team that night. You know, however, the Iran one was a different case. We ate them, you know. We should have been there, you know. Just, I think everyone that was at that game, 100,000 people, Australia in general, it kind of brought everyone together. It was just one of those moments that I think could have been really, really special, but it wasn't to be.
In saying that, Lazzy, you still had, you know, chances in Montevideo, yeah, in that second leg. There was some glorious chance. I think Agostino, yeah, came off the bench, yeah, late in the game as well. And I guess Honduras, yeah, you know, as much as Australia going in as favourites tonight, they will get chances of some sort tonight. So it'll be important for, yeah, for the Socceroos to be concentrated and tight.
Absolutely, Dave. A good question. I mean, that's my concern. My concern is, look, I think we're going to have a lot of the ball. I think we're going to have the possession. You know, for me, it's that first half that we've got to come out hard and strong. And, you know, because you're right, Honduras, they're probably going to get a chance. And you just don't want them to go 1-0 up because we need two goals. And everyone then gets nervous. And we can recall the Thailand game as a bit of a warning sign where we had all the possession. And, you know, any other day, we probably would have won 7 or 8-1. And in the end, that cost us an automatic spot. You look at what happened with Italy and Sweden. All the signs are there. You know, you're not, it's no given that you're to make the World Cup. Making the World Cup is very, very difficult. And you only have to see some of the countries that have missed out, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Some massive countries missing out at the moment. We're talking to former Socceroo Stan Lazaridis, less than 3 hours from kickoff in tonight's epic World Cup playoff match between Australia and Honduras. Lazar, take us back to 2005, the Uruguay playoffs and the, yes, World Cup itself. I mean, again, an extraordinary moment for Australian football.
Oh, great time. You know, I will say, a lot of lessons were learned. I think the FFA at that time did a lot of homework, a lot of investing. Gus Hiddink was brought in. The staff, the sports science, Anthony Creer will talk about that in your next interview. There was a lot more investment put in overall, whereas before with Iran, and it wasn't. We just went out there and played. We didn't have all the luxuries of all of that. So, you know, the chartered plane, all that made a difference, Dave, and particularly, you know, we're wiser for the first leg. When we came back, we're better, we're fresh. And Goose had got the team, you know, prepared well. And then obviously went down to that penalty shootout, and it just happened to be our turn, you know. So it was a magical night. And then now it's almost, we're expected. We feel like now, since then, going through Asia, it's almost like all the fans feel like you're expected to go through. But these other Asian countries now have gotten really good. They've gotten better. They've now invested. And Thailand's now a difficult team to beat, whereas before, expecting to beat them 4-5-0. That doesn't happen anymore, Dave. So, you know, now we're on the cusp, but, you know, very, very important for the development of our game, for investment. I mentioned the money. So this game's probably worth $50 million to Australia, so to the, yep, FFA and to the development. So many things, so many. Yeah, I'm nervous. I'm going to be honest. As a former player, I'm really nervous. I wish I was out there, though. I wish I could play, because I'd certainly run all day for it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Australia, you would absolutely love playing in this much maligned Ange Postecoglou system, wouldn't you? I mean, the left flank would be all yours from byline to byline.
Good question. Luckily, they've got a stand at the back. I keep running past the stand. I mean, I would die for Ange Postecoglou. I mean, I wish I had a manager in Ange Postecoglou that I would have played for, because honestly, and I'm not saying it for anything, I love the guy so much. I love how he speaks. He protects his place. He's Australia through and through. He lives here. He wakes up. He speaks to people. There's no agenda with him. He just gets on with it. He encourages. And I wish I had someone like that. And these players are very lucky to have a manager, a coach, a mentor, someone that look to the bench. And he just protects his players. And I really so want it to happen for him in particular, for Australia, of course, and for the players. But, I wish I was out there. And, yeah, I would run past the stadium. I'd come back, do another circle. And, yeah. be great.
But so in light of that, what do you make of all the criticism about Ange?
I'm glad in some ways. He just kept his cards close to his chest. What you should note that with all this talk about Ange, we're not really talking about the players.
Mm.
And I think this is, in some ways, you know, the smart managers, they just want the players to be relaxed and take the heat away from them. Sir Alex Ferguson, I remember listening to him saying that, you know, he would accept everything to shield his players. And I think this is a way that he just wants to shield his players. And I expect him. Look, I've been a big fan of Ange from day one. I was disappointed to hear some of my ex-players wanting him out. I was really disappointed, I'll be honest. All of a sudden, they've come jump back on the bandwagon saying Ange is great. I'm unwavered. I think he's been great. He hasn't had, also no disrespect to the current players, he hasn't had the luxuries of some of the players the other managers have had at their disposal. And he's developed a great team that play a certain style, and they've got to fit the style, not work around a particular individual. And so I'm very optimistic that should we win tonight, I expect us to do so, that he will take us to the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. Some strong words there, Lazar. Good on you, mate. And look, I mean, I reckon the bus would have just arrived at ANZ Stadium, and the players would be walking into the change rooms as we speak. What will be going through their minds, the younger players and the older players?
Yeah. I tell you, I'm just reminiscing now, Davey, as if I was walking in. And you are nervous. You kind of don't want to speak to anybody. No jokes. There's none of this. And I love having laughs, as you know. It's so serious. You're running. You're almost replaying the game in your head as to how you expect it to unfold. You want your boots right. You want your shin pads in the right spot. You want your shirt. Everything has got to be spot on. I've got to put the right boot on first, left boot on second. These players are going to have that. Who's massaging? Who's doing this? Who's stretching? And you're going through that. How's your stomach feeling? Are the energy levels right? All these are going through. Sorry, am I talking too much?
Or mate, do I have to get up there? Lazar, I'm absolutely loving it, mate. Keep going. The floor is yours.
It's as if I'm walking into the changing rooms and you're seeing your shirt, you know, Lazar or, you know, whoever it was, Viduka or Cahill in this case. And the preparation is on, you know, you're almost then recalling the player you're up against. What's his moves? You're thinking how you're going to get past him or how you can defend him. There is just this air in the changing room that everyone knows it's game on. It's so thick, it's tense.
Yep.
And you just got to look at each other, to be honest, Dave. And I used to look to my left and right, and I used to have like Harry Kuehl and Mark Viduka. I'm thinking, wow, I got some special players here.
Yeah.
And I always say, and to these guys tonight, and even to the fans and the listeners, never forget the moments. Never forget where you are, because you recall it. And I always said that to myself, don't forget where you are. It's not about money. It's not about, never forget this moment, because these things only happen sometimes once in a lifetime. And so I hope that gives you a bit of insight. And, you know, should we win, the experience after the game, Dave, well, I always used to bring my John Travolta snakeskin shoes, and I would tear up a dance floor, no problem.
Very good. I was about to ask you about John Travolta, but you beat me to the punch. You reckon he might re-emerge tonight, Lazar?
Oh, well, I got chills. They're multiplying. He did that. I mean, I was there singing. I was saying, hey, Johnny, I go, these are the lyrics, mate. I'll say it, you sing, you know. But
And Big Spider Kalatz was right in amongst
spider,
it, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, look, it was just, and you know what? It then transcends to all the fans. Everyone's so happy. It's an achievement. And then there's this big kind of next 6-7 months in preparation of going to a World Cup, and everyone talking about it, the preparation, what flight you want. Oh, here we go, Russia, Sochi, or whatever it is. And it's just embracing, you know, it embraces you. So I just so hope it is for the boys, for the fans. Ange for me in particular, I'm going to highlight it so many times. A guy has copped so many punches, none of which other previous managers had, mind you. and he's one of ours. And that just, it just burns me. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, he is a guy, he's not interested in going on a 60-foot yacht in Monaco and this. But this guy is going to go back, Melbourne, Sydney, wherever he is, and he's going to face the music. In fact, I'm going to see him on Friday. So I hope when I see him, I give him a big hug and say, well done, because you've earned it. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Lazza, loving the passion in your voice. And to wrap it up, I'll get a prediction from you for tonight.
I'm going to say a nervous 2-1.
Yeah. 2-1.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going through, mate. Yep. We're going through 2-1. And I wanted to get the goals early, particularly Timmy. We'd probably see Lecky Rogic play. So
yep,
we've got some firepower to come on. And so I think we're ready. We're ready.
And, mate, who'll start on the left, do you think? I mean, the team sheets will come out in about an hour. But do you reckon they'll keep Aziz Bajic or Alex Gersbach coming in on the left?
Well, I think Aziz did really well.
He did.
It just goes to show. It's not so much, again, this wouldn't be about whether he didn't play well or not. It's just how, and Ange would know this, is whether the players have backed up. And yeah, it was a tough pitch. Aziz did some really hard running. Gersbach, I like Gersbach because he reminds me a little bit of myself in the way he runs forward. I do like the way he runs, but I'd be happy with either or. But in saying that, you don't want to make too many changes. I think Ange, he'll probably keep it to about three, to be honest.
Yep.
Miller Jedinak was a big, big one for me. I thought he was brilliant in the way he screened at defence. He was like Hercules there. He was a presence. And it allowed the other players to play well. So Timmy Cahill, Rogic, Lecky, they're the ones I'd expect to be starting.
Very good. Lazza, I could go on and on, but we've got to go. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Good luck tonight. No doubt you'll be cheering the Socceroos home. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dave, and good luck. Cheers, mate.
Good on you. That was Stan Lazaridis, the former Socceroo. This is FNR Football Nation Radio with a special Socceroos edition of Football Q&A. More after the break.
FNR Football Nation Radio. Football Q&A with Dave Davutovic from the Herald Sun on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Nil all over there.
And it's stalemate, but it's not a bad outcome for Ange Postecoglou and his team.
Winner takes all over here. Join the FNR team for the Fox Sports simulcast of Australia versus Honduras Cutthroat World Cup qualifier, second leg, this Wednesday from 6 p.m. Eastern.
Australia have done it!
On the road to Russia, we are your voice of football. FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, welcome back. And this is a special Socceroos edition of Football Q&A on FNR Football Nation Radio. I'm David Davutovic from the Herald Sun. And if you want to join in, the talkback number, 9944 9999 03 outside of Melbourne, plus 613 outside Australia. Or you can SMS 0428 933 345. Tell us what you think about the Socceroos. What are your score predictions? Now, we've got another special guest to preview tonight's game. Former Socceroos and current Melbourne Victory high-performance guru Anthony Cree. Anthony, welcome.
David, how are you?
I'm going very well, mate. You had a trip down memory lane this week preparing a bunch of Socceroos for these big game tonight. Was it nostalgic for you?
It's always a privilege when you can help out in any way. And this week, I was asked to look after Matthew Lecky and Robbie Cruz while the boys were doing their work over in Honduras. The two boys were back here in Melbourne. So we did a couple of sessions together just to keep them ticking over.
Yep, and obviously all the focus was on the Socceroos charter flight with their amazing high-tech Scandinavian glasses to adjust their sleep patterns and whatnot. But I guess another batch of secret weapons were training at Amy Park behind closed doors. How did you go with them, and what sort of nick are Lecky and Cruz in particular, obviously coming back from injuries?
Yeah, look, the boys are, I think, are in good nick, and they're definitely, obviously, two weapons that Ange will use sometime tonight. The boys trained really well. Obviously, they flew in from Germany. They had a recovery day. And then we had a couple of sessions, and they pulled up really well. From what I understand, they trained, obviously, in camp in Sydney, and it's all systems go for the two of them.
And talk to us about sort of the how it unfolded and the sessions. Were they very much your sessions, or were they Socceroo sessions, or you guys sort of communicated and it was somewhere in between?
Yeah, no, look, it's obviously I'm helping out the coaches there, and they set the sessions, I put some sort of spin on it. They were quite open for me to choose what needed to be done. Obviously, there's obviously some parameters that we want to stick to and that they wanted to stick to, and that was all good. But it was mostly with the ball, so it was just sort of testing, obviously, crossing and shooting, and we did a little bit of running where the boys were opening up just to make sure they're ready to go for their inclusion tonight in any way over the 90 minutes.
And I was at one of the sessions, Anth, and Lecky was pretty happy about the extended shooting practice. So if he bangs one in tonight, we've got you to thank.
Yeah, look, I don't know about that, but
just claim it, mate.
It would be great for him to score. I think it'd be great for any of them to score and for us to get the result that everyone in Australia wants.
Mate, you've done a sterling job, with Sydney FC and more recently Melbourne Victory in the high-performance department. But before that, you were with the Socceroos for a long time, and particularly the 2005-2006 period was a real high watermark for the game. Take us back to those days and your role in particular.
I think once Goose Hiddink come in, everything sort of stepped up in terms of preparation for those two legs over Uruguay. And myself and Les Gellis ended up basing ourselves in London at the time because at that stage we had probably about 11 or 12 players that were playing in the Premier League. So the majority of the team was playing out of the UK. And then also a few other boys in Europe, Italy, Switzerland. So predominantly we were there to take care of them and sort of troubleshoot wherever we could. And in the end, when everything goes well, qualification, and then we carried on that going through to the World Cup. When you talk about chartered flights, that was the first time we had a chartered flight when we came back from Uruguay on the return leg back to Sydney. In those days, we didn't have the high-tech glasses, but, certainly we had the massage tables on the plane. Obviously, the players were in, scattered between first and business class. The meals were tailored to what we wanted for the players to eat. And we obviously gained that extra day in recovery, which is important, and what the current squad's done also. Times have changed. That was a good 11, 12 years ago now, and sports science has evolved, and they've got a great team, that are with the Socceroos now. When it comes to sports science and performance, and obviously the coaches are very educated also.
And I mean, all the ingredients were clearly in place with yourself and Les Gellis. I mean, some of the best people in their field around the world, not just in this part of the world, but obviously took Goose Hiddink to come in and really, raise the bar for Australian football in general.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, with obviously his experience in Europe at some major clubs, and obviously his experience with international teams, it was also something different for him because he didn't have to deal with a lot of these, longer flights. So once, everyone sat down as a group and the charter flight, was something that came up, he was insistent that needed to be done. And in the end, the FFA got it done.
We're talking to former Socceroos high-performance guru, currently with Melbourne Victory, Anthony Crea, who helped prepare Robbie Crews, Matt Leckie and Mark Milligan in Melbourne for tonight's game. Now, Anthony, just taking us back to 2006 and the preparation for that World Cup in particular, you touched on Harry Kewell and a few of the boys that you coached overseas, but how much of a factor did that play? Obviously there's only so much time you can spend at your club and only so much attention you can get from there, but how much did it help having yourself and Les Gallus based in Europe?
I think it was a massive addition for the players. The players were really behind it when it was first brought up. Les spent a lot of time with Harry and obviously all the other players. I was sort of up and down, spent time with Harry, with Mark Viduka, for example, who had, at that stage before the World Cup, problems with his hamstring. And like you said, David, the attention that, the physios over there can give, they've got 30 players to look after, and there's only so much they could do. So with us being there, we could focus on Mark or Harry, Vince Grella, anyone who needed that tension or extra training. I spent a lot of time with Tony Popovich, who was the captain of Crystal Palace, and Tony was someone who just loved to work. So he wanted to do extra sessions. There was no problem with him, but he just wanted to work even harder.
And which guys would have really struggled to get up for Germany 2006? I know Popper was one who was really, really touch and go, but I imagine several others would have struggled without that extra attention.
Yeah, I think the likes of Harry, as David, he was sort of on a special program even when we were at the World Cup. So before that, it was so important, and Les Gallus played a huge part in getting him ready for that particular World Cup. Vince Grella, fitness issues along the way, and we were doing extra work, extra programming, strength work. Even Lucas Neal at the time, wasn't getting a hell of a lot of game time. So, we had to make sure that he was getting the correct amount of work done every week. So we know that and the coaches know that he's ready to play either the qualifiers or in the World Cup.
And Anthony, the Socceroos charter flight whisked them from San Pedro Sula to Sydney. They got in on Sunday at about noon. Meanwhile, the correct. Honduras team were on a commercial flight. I believe some of them flew economy too. They had a lazy 14-hour pit stop in LA before getting into Sydney about 21 hours later, so about 9 a.m. on Monday morning. How much of a difference will that, as well as the other little, I guess, 1%ers with the Socceroos' high performance and conditioning stuff, how much of a factor will that play tonight, and especially if it goes into extra time?
Look, it's gonna be a huge factor, and I think the Socceroos and the staff and the FFA have played it perfectly. You can see they were well prepared, for what was going to happen and when they needed to be back, and to try and take every advantage possible. And that's what you're talking about. You mentioned the 1%ers, and that's a key in international football. Now the Hondurans, on the other, I think they're really going to struggle tonight. I don't think they expected, the longish flight, the layover, 14 hours in LA. It's their time zones would be out, and as David, you've travelled the world. It takes a couple of days just to sort of get everything correct. Body clock wise and sleep, and I think the Australians are going to be fresh. We all know they're fit, and I think it's a given tonight. I think everything that they're prepared for from the scientific aspect, the sports scientific aspect, has been exceptional.
Anthony, thanks so much for your wonderful insights. Thanks for your work in preparing Robbie Crews, Mark Milligan and Matt Leckie for this massive game tonight. And no doubt they'll all play a part and enjoy watching the game, no doubt, as a fan.
Thank you, David, and we go to Sky Socceroos.
Very good. Anthony Crea, former Socceroos high-performance guru. This is FNR Football Nation Radio with a special Socceroos edition of Football Q&A. More after the break.
FNR Football Nation Radio. Football Q&A with Dave Davutovich from the Herald Sun on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Football Q&A, and we've got a special Socceroos edition just a couple of hours away from kickoff in tonight's All or Nothing World Cup qualifier. Now, Ange Postecoglou's future has dominated the headlines since Australia disposed of Syria in last month's Asian playoffs. Now, will Postecoglou stay on for the Russia 2018 mission? This was his take on the eve of tonight's match.
My focus is tomorrow night. And that's all my focus is, because it's just too important to think about anything else. And I wish I had more brain space to be able to deal with more than one thing at a time. But as my wife consistently tells me, I'm best when I just concentrate on one thing. And in this case, it's a game.
That was Socceroos boss Ange Postecoglou talking about his future on the eve of tonight's game. Now, I'll introduce Paul Okon to FNR, the former Socceroo and, of course, a current coach of Central Coast Mariners. Paul, thanks for your time.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Yeah, going well. How are you feeling heading into tonight?
Yeah, look, quite confident, but there's always, you know, there's always a bit of nerves. It's never simple, these situations, and you know, Honduras is a good opponent, so you know, we'll need to make sure that we're ready. And you know, I think if everything falls into place, I see us qualifying.
Now, we just heard from Ange, who was playing another beautiful straight bat on his future. What's your read of the situation, Paolo?
It's a funny one, because you'd like to think that the ultimate goal 4 years ago was to get to a World Cup. You know, Ange went to the last one, but he didn't lead the qualification and only come in at the back end. And he's had the opportunity to qualify from the start, and you know, we're 90 or 95 minutes away from achieving that, and you sort of. It's a bit unthinkable to think that should Australia qualify, that Ange won't take the team to Russia. But you know, if he doesn't, I can also understand. He has a you know, this real urge to be coaching every day, to get back into club coaching, and you know, that may be hampered if he does go to the World Cup, because you know, a big part of the next 6 months will be. Preparing for that, and obviously the tournament's in June, July, when most European clubs are preparing for the next season. And does that rule Ange out of potentially getting a job in Europe, as we all know that he's you know, he's looking for? So I guess you know, this debate and this uncertainty, you know, finally it's there. The fact if we get there or not, and will Ange let everyone know that you know, what his plans are.
Pella, we'll get on to tonight's game in a moment, but at first I just wanted to get your Socceroos memories of these World Cup playoffs. I mean, 1997 you obviously missed, which would have been heartbreaking for you. Then 2001 obviously had the Uruguay playoffs. So your memories of both of those?
Yeah, look, very disappointing. It's you know, playing for Australia and playing international football, it has a special feeling. It's very different to playing club football. Club football, you're representing your fans, whereas when you play for your country, you represent the whole nation. And there is that sense of failure, of, you know, of failing your fellow Australian and your fellow countrymen. And you know, it's a real tricky one, because you know, you that small mistake could be so costly, and it can go either way. It's that, you know, the line is that fine. Certainly in moments where, you know, it's down to two games. You know, we had an okay result in the first game. If we had have drawn, I would have preferred it to be a scoring draw. So yeah, this game tonight is by no means easy. You know, we're definitely the stronger opponent, but the fact that you're so close can have an effect mentally on you. And again, it's down to those small little details, those small moments that often can decide, you know, who's going to go through to Russia.
Yep. And we're just talking to Stan Lazaridis, who talked about how the Socceroos almost got psyched out of it in 2001 when you went to Montevideo. And he mentioned you. They seemed to really target you in terms of the heckling. Take us back to that trip. And I guess how it compares to the Socceroos' preparations now, because they really had their San Pedro Sula base in lockdown and weren't really exposed to any of that sort of stuff. I guess learning from the lessons of the past.
Yeah, and I think I've said it many times. We probably wouldn't have qualified in that five had we not have learnt the difficulties and learnt what was probably you know, needed to be done to ensure that everything sort of went smoothly pre-game. And you know, you think back to when we arrived in Montevideo. You know, they held us up at the airport. They checked all of our bags. You know, we didn't get out of there for another 2 or 3 hours, and then once we walking out onto the bus, they sort of formed this barricade and hurled abuse at us and made it really, really hostile. And you know, we sort of, you know, afterwards we had a bit of a laugh, but you know, I think that was a clear statement and a clear intent from Uruguay to really make us feel as uncomfortable as possible. And in the end, was that the deciding factor? No, but it certainly played a part in helping Uruguay, you know, qualify. And nowadays, yeah, look, FFA's got that covered. You know, we have security that travel with the team that actually live in the hotel with the team. And Mark Saliba does a fantastic job as head of security, making sure that when you do go to these locations, that everyone feels as safe as possible.
Yeah, and we just saw, I think, the Kiwi team, the All Whites, flying into Peru. For whatever reason, their flight got delayed. They had to circle around Lima for a couple of hours' time. So no doubt the Peruvians are pulling out all stops to try and get over the line in that game tomorrow morning. So I'm not sure the Kiwis have got too much experience in that field. But, Paul, tonight's game, a couple of hours away from kickoff, how do you expect it to unfold from a tactical viewpoint?
Yeah, well, look, Honduras don't really need to make the game, and to be fair, I don't think they're that type of team. You know, Australia dominated the game, which we expect. That's the style that Ange plays, and it's been quite successful thus far. And you know, Honduras probably looked only dangerous when they sort of on a few occasions. Went long over the top. They got a few fast guys up there, but the actual pitch that they played on sort of disadvantaged Honduras as well, because when the ball went over the top, it didn't sort of skid through. The ball stopped because of the heavy ground. So I would think that tonight at ANZ, it'll be a lot slicker. It'll be a better surface, and that tactic from Honduras will benefit them. Now, Australia will have the ball, Australia will make the game, and I think we need to be smart and patient, because the transition moment, as you know, in these games is I think, will be the difference, how well we can handle it. And there's a term in modern football that you use, rest defence. So obviously when you're attacking and you've got the ball, your defenders need to make sure that they have their opponents who are in those transition areas waiting to receive those passes are locked up. And if we can do that and be patient, move them around, wait for that opportunity, wait for that pocket of space to penetrate, I see us winning the game.
And what's your, just finally, what's your score prediction, Paolo?
Mate, I am the worst person to predict the score. Every time I do, I'm miles off it. But you know, I got a good feel about this. I think you know, we deserve to be in Russia. A lot's been said throughout the campaign, but I think that we were good enough. We've had some bumpy moments, but I think that we'll, you know, hopefully get through and beyond that, playing to Russia.
And, Powell, I'm not sure if you can confirm this, but we're not sure if John Travolta will be in the change rooms for the post-game celebrations. I've heard they've got you on standby. Is that correct?
Mate, I'm happy to do anything if it means we qualify.
Fantastic, mate. Absolutely loved your celebrations after the game on Friday night after beating Sydney FC. Congratulations on your first win, and no doubt you'll be cheering the Socceroos home. Are you going to the game tonight?
No, mate, I'm home. I've got the next couple of hours. I've got to prepare stuff for tomorrow's game.
Of course.
I'll be watching it from home, and again, hopefully the result is what we all strongly wish for.
Fantastic. Paul Okon, thanks so much for your time and your wonderful insights on the Socceroos.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Paul Okon, the former Socceroo. This is FNR Football Nation Radio. More after the break.
FNR Football Nation Radio. Football Q&A with Dave Davutovich from the Herald Sun on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to a special Socceroos edition of Football Q&A, just a couple of hours out from kickoff between the Socceroos and Honduras tonight. And joining us now is Fox Sports commentator Andy Harper to set the scene at ANZ Stadium. Of course, a reminder that FNR will simulcast the Fox Sports TV feed from 8 p.m. Harps, welcome. How are you feeling?
Hey, Davo, mate. Good. Good. It's a brilliantly blue sky here in Sydney. A little bit windy, but, you know, I think that'll drop off by kickoff time. Most pleasant temperature. I think it's all set up beautifully. So I'm feeling pretty good and certainly excited about the portents of the football match.
Very good. So the players, they'd be in the Socceroos camp. They'd be in the change rooms, I guess, slowly preparing themselves now, as would the Hondurans.
Yeah, so well, we're a couple of hours out from kickoff, so the advance party would be here already, setting up the warm-ups and getting the dressing room ready with gear and all that sort of stuff. Team probably about, I don't know, hour and a half before. Traffic's pretty heavy around Sydney this time of day.
And, shock horror.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's all been taken into account, and the teams will be here pretty promptly from any time from now on to get ready. It's... there's a lot of expectation around this game. We haven't been in this position since 2005, obviously, and we're certainly hoping for the same outcome, if not the same set of circumstances as 2005. I don't think my heart could take that, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. Harp, saw you on the charter flight with the Socceroos, donning those high-tech Scandinavian glasses. No doubt you evaded jet lag, and probably looms as a real advantage for the Socceroos heading into this game.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, the Socceroos jumped straight back pretty much from the Syria game in Malaysia as well. But, you know, the time difference and the length of the flight wasn't really anything compared with the Herculean effort required to get to and from Central America. So it should provide a massive advantage for the Socceroos, along with this their record at this stadium, which is pretty imposing, not to mention Australia hasn't lost a World Cup qualifier or has only lost one World Cup qualifier in Australia in recent memory, and it's an even stronger record here. They've qualified for a couple at this stadium. They won the Asian Cup. Importantly, it was this squad that won the Asian Cup at this ground. So very, very fond memories and very important experience for the players.
Harps, we know you've got a job to do, mate, as we all do, but how do you, and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, of course, but, you know, how do you contain your emotion as a commentator in those magic moments?
Well, some people will say I don't. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the fact of the matter is my bosses are happy to have me sitting behind the microphone, so I just do my thing. Look, it's the job of the people in the media, through your format, through the print media, and now through the radio, is to
is to convey the emotion of the moment to the people who matter most, and that's the fans watching. So you have to be, you know, you have to be legitimate. You have to be honest about what you're seeing and what you're feeling. And you have to be transparent with it as well, because, you know, these are very important sporting moments. These are very important cultural moments. And you got to pay the people who are watching and listening the ultimate respect.
Absolutely. And Harb, speaking of people that matter, you were very close, of course, to the late Mike Cockerell and Johnny Warren, who'll be throwing one heck of a shindig tonight up above, along with the likes of Les Murray, Charles Perkins, and a host of others. I mean, what would those doyens have been saying right now, heading into this epic occasion, I guess, in the context of Australian football, with so much uncertainty around the game?
Yeah, exactly. You're talking, and particularly, you know, in Les and then more so Mike, more recently departed, and Johnny Warren, the great visionaries of the game. And, you know, we've all experienced the sadness of Johnny not seeing the renaissance of football in this country after he worked so long. And Mike, only recently departed, has just ploughed, you know, such a heroic furrow on behalf of the game. And they'll be very proud. I feel confident in saying this, Darvall, without presuming to know the great men intimately. But I feel very confident in saying this. Both Mike Cockerell, God bless him, and Johnny Warren would be absolutely 100% proud of the job Ange Postecoglou has done and the terms under which he has done it. An Australian-raised coach. Everything about Ange's football was manufactured and crafted in Australia. That this guy has been so brave in the face of a lot of criticism, a lot of low expectation, and developed a squad from scratch, basically, except for a couple of two or three players, a squad from scratch through the refining fires of the last World Cup in 2014 to win the Asian Cup, and then to bring them, after 250,000 travelled kilometres across multiple time zones, and now, at the end of this, 22 games in qualifying, the longest ever qualifying path in the history of the World Cup.
Yep.
And an Australian leading that charge with such decorum and such expertise would make both Michael and Johnny extremely proud. And I would suggest Les as well.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, Harps. Beautifully said. And look, as we wrap it up, what's just finally, I guess, your prediction for tonight, score prediction, and how you think the game will unfold?
Yeah, okay. Well, in acknowledgement, we've just acknowledged some of the game's greats.
Yep.
This is the 50th anniversary of the naming of the Socceroos. Let's not forget winning that 1967 Friendship Cup in the middle of the Vietnam War. And 50 years later, an Australian coach is on the cusp of qualifying a team for the World Cup. And, you know, they deserve a cricket score, really, because their problem has been finishing, not creating. The discussion around, you know, selections and formations is such a furphy. When you look as objectively as possible at the flow of the 22 games, and no one ever has a 100% record, not even the great teams of the world, over 22 games, this team has by and large dominated most of their opponents. They just haven't had the goals to reflect that. That's been the criticism of the team. That's been the bugbear. That's been their Achilles heel. And I hope, for the sake of the team's reputation, the individuals involved, the greats like Timmy Cahill, the enormous coaching performance of Postecoglou, in my opinion, his support staff, that all that work over 4 years is vindicated with a big scoreline. I hesitate only because, out of respect for Honduras and how beautiful that country and their people were in hosting us last week, and I don't wish ill on them. But I certainly think it would be justice for the Socceroos to win well tonight as a stamp, an exclamation mark on the Postecoglou reign 4 years in.
Absolutely. Andy Harper, thanks so much for your time. So close to kickoff, less than 2 hours away. And have a great call. We'll be listening in here on FNR for those people who can't tune into Fox Sports. And all the best.
Good on you, Darvall. Thanks, mate.
That was Andy Harper from Fox Sports and the former NSL great. He'll be calling tonight along with Simon Hill. This has been a special edition of Football Q&A on FNR Football Nation Radio, and we'll continue our lead-in to the Socceroos' epic World Cup playoff after the break with Chris Appleford and Ian Greener, who'll interview the likes of Paul Wade, Josip Skoko, Les Scheinflug, and crossing to Michael Zapponi over at ANZ Stadium. We'll be right back.
Football Q&A with Dave Davutovich from the Herald Sun on FNR Football Nation Radio.